Now broadcasting from the Next Gen Conservative Studio in sunny South Florida, bringing you the latest in politics, current events, and pop culture. This is the Whitfield Report with Sam Whitfield.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Monday edition of the Whitfield Report. I'm your host, Sam Whitfield, recording here at NGC Studios on this fine Monday, April 22nd, 2024. So glad that you're all joining me wherever you are in the past, present, future. I hope everyone had a good weekend and whatnot. Let's get down to it, shall we? First things first, just a quick announcement regarding the Fourth Estate. As always, I love to plug the book here. We've had some great reviews of my latest thriller, The Fourth Estate, a John Ryder thriller, book number 2 in the Shadows of Deception saga, available for purchase on Amazon in both paperback and Kindle edition. Really appreciate everyone who has gone out there to purchase the book and leave a rating and review. And if you haven't already picked up your copy of The Fourth Estate, please consider going ahead and doing so. That is the main way you can support the show. Buying a book helps me with the show, and in return, you get a very nice novella. Also on sale, the first book in this series, Shadows of Deception, also available on Amazon. So you can book pick those two up. Thank you for your support of the series so far. It really means a lot to me. And speaking of The Fourth Estate, that does bring me to today's topic, sort of. On Friday, Joe Rogan had Tucker Carlson on his podcast, and there were several topics that both gentlemen covered, everything ranging from artificial intelligence and the possible existence of extraterrestrials and whatnot. They spent about an hour on that topic alone. And just, various topics in relation to, the government, media, corruption, the deep state, or as I call it in my book, The Fourth Estate, specifically. And it's all very fascinating. A lot of people who are already in the know about a lot of this stuff, a lot of people who are already paying attention to, information and what's going on in the world, those who are kind of already up on the fact that the deep state exists and whatnot, this was not that, mind-boggling of an interview. It wasn't that groundbreaking. But I will tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I've said this before, the thing that Joe Rogan is really good at is taking concepts that may seem a little out there and explaining them in such a way that the average, ordinary person, or normie, as we tend to call them, can understand. And obviously there are people who think that Joe Rogan is a government plant. I've heard that conspiracy theory before. I don't think that's true at all, just because I think that, I mean, they already tried to smear Rogan and sense Rogan, the deep state and the fourth estate has already. They're not happy with him, and they're not happy with Spotify for having him. And they're certainly not happy with him for having Tucker Carlson on. And like I said, there were a lot of interesting topics regarding extraterrestrials, AI, artificial intelligence, and whatnot. But out of all the topics that they covered, and this is really what I want to cover on today's program, towards the end of the program, maybe about like a third of the way through the podcast, if I'm being honest, not completely at the end of the program, but rather, I guess, kind of in the third, like, act of the program, I guess you could say, Tucker starts explaining the corruption of the Central Intelligence Agency and, in relation to how they've been spying on Trump, and also how the CIA and the intelligence agencies wiretapped his, you know, his phones and leaked his text messages and sent them to the New York Times. That did happen to Tucker, and that's been confirmed. His text did get leaked to the New York Times, and that obviously was their whole, conspiracy to try and paint them as, like some sort of Russian sympathizer or Russian agent. We know that the CIA has corruption, ladies and gentlemen. We know that the intelligence apparatus in general has corruption. Again, this is one of those things that I talked specifically about in the Fourth Estate. Even though it's fiction, a lot of this is based off of theories and different information I've found about how the news media and the intelligence agencies work together, right? So this topic hits close to home since I write about it so much. But anyway, as I was saying, about a third way through this podcast between Joe Rogan and Tucker Carlson, Tucker Carlson dropped the bombshell as to how the CIA was involved in the Kennedy assassination, and then furthermore, how they were involved in the Watergate scandal and the impeachment of Richard Nixon. And to me, as someone who's always been skeptical of the whole Watergate scandal narrative from the beginning, this wasn't anything new to me, but it is important because a lot of people who were saying I was crazy to think that the Watergate scandal was, you know, a corrupt act by the CIA and that Rich Nixon did wrong, a lot of people who were once skeptical of Watergate being a huge thing are now saying to me just today, since the weekend, if they're not saying, Sam, you're right, which I have received a few DMs from people saying that, there are some people I've seen on X and elsewhere saying, well, maybe we ought to rethink the Watergate scandal, because there's a lot more you know, there seems to be a lot more to this than meets the eye. So I am going to go ahead and play this clip of Tucker on Joe Rogan's experience where they're talking about how the CIA and the intelligence agency basically tried to, you know, kick Richard Nixon out of power and perform a coup d'etat on his presidency. So, you know, I think it's disgraceful, but I think it is something that needs to be, you know, talked out. And I'm glad that Rogan was willing to have Tucker on to discuss this. So, starting off with this clip here, let me get it set up here. And okay, let's see here. Okay, let's go to theater mode. Perfect. Okay. Okay, so here is Tucker Carlson talking about how the CIA basically performed a coup on Richard Nixon and destroyed his presidency. And I'll mute my mic for part of this and pause it to do commentary. Clip number one, let's roll the tape.
I thought the New York Times wouldn't have an issue with that.
Well, the New York Times does that all the time.
But bizarre that they wouldn't have an issue with the government tapping into your phone.
They work for the government. Are you kidding?
Right.
The New York Times? Yeah, the New York Times is a conduit for the lies of government. That's what it is. It's their tool. And they're perfectly aware of that. I mean, I used to write for the New York Times as a freelancer. I mean, I've been around the New York Times a lot. And there are, yeah, there are a lot of really smart people there, for sure. Even now, I would less so now. But there's still, I think, smart people there. There are. I know some. And they know, but they think that you know, it's worth it because they're bringing information, or I don't know what they think actually, but no, they're tools of power. And that's like the one thing that you're not allowed to be, even if you think the power is good. Like maybe they all support the agenda of the US government, destabilizing the world and impoverishing their own population. Maybe they're on board with that. Even if they are, they shouldn't do it, because the job of the media, the press, is to keep power in check. You are kind of like the seatbelt, right? You know,
right.
You make sure that things don't go too far. So, and they're not doing that. They're acting as a willing handmaiden.
When do you think that switched?
Well, I think it's been the case for a long time. I mean, if you look at what happened to Rich.
All right. So right then and there, what Tucker said is something that I theorized out a decade ago, more than that, actually. Again, it is kind of fortuitous that I'm writing the Shadows of Deception saga, because, again, specifically in the Fourth Estate, and I know I'm promoting the book pretty heavily today, but it's because it actually ties into the topic of today's podcast. I talk about how the corporate media is embedded with the intelligence agencies and with the deep state. And I'm going to continue to talk about it in the third book, which I'm working on right now. But, you know, for all of you who think that who have read this and think that the element of the corporate press working for the government, a lot of people think that that is purely fiction, what I'm discussing. And I'm here to tell you that, yes, I am writing it in a fictional setting here, ladies and gentlemen. But it is based, at least partially, in fact. And that fact is what Tucker is discussing right now. continuing on, he's going to talk how the New York Times basically framed Richard Nixon for the Watergate scandal and how Bob Woodward was a naval intelligence asset, which is that's pretty much open now, like, for the public. So very interesting.
Which I, of course, did not understand at all. Richard Nixon was taken out by the FBI and CIA, and with the help of Bob Woodward, host reporter, who had been a naval intelligence officer working in the White House, working. And then he shows up like later, and he's this, almost at all, he's a naval intel officer, the famous Bob Woodward we all revere, and he's at the Washington Post, and somehow he gets the biggest story in the history. He's the lead guy. I worked at a newspaper. I've been in the news business my whole life. That is not how it works. You don't take a kid like his first day from a totally unrelated business and put him on the biggest story. He was that guy. And who is his main source? Number two guy at the FBI. Oh, so you have the naval intelligence officer working with the FBI official to destroy the president. Okay, so that's a deep state coup. What else is to say? And yet the way it was framed and the way that I accepted for decades was, oh, this intrepid reporter fought power. No, no, no. This intrepid reporter, Bob Woodward, was a tool of power, secret power, which is the most threatening kind, to bounce the president in American history from office before the end of his term and replace him with who? Oh, Gerald Ford, who sat on the Warren Commission. Now, how did Gerald Ford get to be Richard Nixon's vice president? Well, because Carl Albert, the Democrat Speaker of the House, told him, you must choose him. We will only confirm him when they sent the actual elected vice president away for tax evasion, Spiro Agnew of Maryland. So you have a complete setup, like an absolute... Gerald Ford, the only unelected president in American history, actually sat on the Warren Commission. Something else that I accepted at face value until I looked at it. And I was like, that's completely insane. You didn't want to interview Jack Ruby in your investigation of the assassination? Okay, you're fake. Yeah, he was on the Warren Commission. And so, sorry for the long story, but the point is, like, that happened in front of all of us, but the way it was framed cloaked the obvious reality of it. The people who broke into the Watergate office building, from which the name is taken, Watergate. I think it was six of them or seven of them. All but one was a CIA employee. That's real. It's like, look it up on Google. So the whole thing, Richard Nixon was elected by more votes than...
Again, that thing about the Watergate six, ladies and gentlemen, that is 100% true, ladies and gentlemen. That is, at this point, like, as Tucker said, that's like mainstream news on Google, ladies and gentlemen. It's obvious. How else can I put it? It just is. You know, things are very... you know, suspicious. I believe Nixon has been vindicated completely. And I have a clip coming up to basically prove that here. That gets pretty interesting. I'll play that after the Tucker thing. But yeah. The Watergate six were all intel agency guys. And that is very disturbing, particularly given that, I mean, the FBI, Obama's FBI, basically spied on Trump's campaign. They've admitted that now, right? And initially, when Trump was saying that the FBI spied on his campaign, the media said that he was full of crap. And yet, I think just like a few months ago, they basically admitted that they did so. There was a big article on NBC News in 2021, which we read here on the program, Apex Gamma and I did, where NBC News basically admitted that all of the corporate media companies basically worked together to protect democracy from Trump. At least that's how they put it. So they influenced the election that way. And so with all that in mind, just being recent, why wouldn't they have framed Rich Nixon? And what was their motive? Well, Tucker is about to explain that here in a sec. Continue on.
Than any president in American history in the 1972 elections. Than any whole thing. Richard Nixon was elected by more votes than any president in American history in the 1972 election. He was the most popular by votes, which is the only way we can really measure popularity, the most popular president in his reelection campaign. And 2 years later, he's gone. Undone by a naval intel officer, the number two guy at the FBI, and a bunch of CIA employees. You tell me what that is. Those are the facts. Those are not disputed facts. That's not crackpot shit. That's just look it up.
So why did they want to get rid of Nixon?
You know, there are a lot of theories on that. I mean, we don't, first of all, we don't need to know motive to know what
happened. Okay. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is where I'm going to pontificate a little bit here. And so please allow me to do so. Obviously, if you're listening to this, you're willing to, but there are a couple theories, one of which, and this is one that is probably the most common that Tucker will talk about. Rich Nixon, according to Roger Stone, Richard Nixon knew who really killed JFK. And inside the intelligence agencies. Now, it is important to know, and I've talked a little bit about this on the podcast, not too much. I've written about it more on like my blog and on my Substack a bit, and tweeted about it on Twitter/X. But kind of as a quick aside, despite the fact that President Kennedy and President Nixon were from opposite parties in the 50s and 60s, they both had respect for each other. And I don't know if they were friends, but they were friendly. And although they had different policy, you know, views domestically, they were both vehemently anti-communist. Vehemently anti-communist. JFK would be considered a right-wing conservative these days if the left heard his views on communism and leftism. JFK hated leftism. And so did Richard Nixon. Also, Richard Nixon and Kennedy were both iffy on escalating the Vietnam War, which was something that the military-industrial complex really wanted to do in the 60s, and both Kennedy and Nixon were skeptical of it. You know, there were some military operations in Vietnam, but it wasn't a full-scale war up until after Kennedy's death, when Johnson took over. And of course, we all know how the Vietnam War ended. For, you know, America. And supposedly Nixon, like, had a better way to pull troops out of Vietnam than what actually happened. So, you know, one of the theories is, you know, why Nixon was framed for Watergate was because he knew what happened with JFK in reality and was going to expose the intelligence agencies. And then the second theory was Nixon was actually going to pull out of Vietnam in a more successful manner than what actually happened. So though, in that second one is my kind of my personal theory based on some things I've read. But, you know, that's just me pontificating. You're going to hear Tucker and what his theory is here for why Nixon was taken out by the Fourth Estate. So let me scroll back here a few seconds, and okay.
The number two guy at the FBI and a bunch of CIA employees. You tell me what that is. Those are the facts. Those are not disputed facts. That's not crackpot shit. That's just look it up.
So why did they want to get rid of Nixon?
You know, there are a lot of first of all, we don't need to know motive to know what happened. They, meaning unelected federal employees, got rid of Richard Nixon, which is the most anti-democratic way to make a leadership change that there is. Okay. I should just say at the outset, I actually kind of believe in democracy. Obviously, it's not working well. Obviously, it's ending globally. Unfortunately, but I'm attached to it because I was born here. I really believe in it. And it's better than any other system. So that's why I'm pissed. What was their motive? There are a lot of theories on this. There's an amazing conversation. It's on tape between Richard Nixon when he was still president. I think it was in 1973. And I think it was Richard Helms, the head of the CIA, though I may have fucked that up. But it was the head of the CIA. And I think it was Helms. And Nixon says, I know why they killed Jack Kennedy. So Nixon was a student of history, obviously a flawed and complicated person, but a very, very smart person. And he was really interested in why this guy who'd been president, just one president before him, was murdered. And he didn't think it was a lone gunman who was mysteriously assassinated 2 days later by another lone gunman. Like, it's so obviously bullshit. And he knew that. And he said to the CIA director, who, and you can listen to the tape, it's on the internet, is totally silent on this question. So I think there was the impression, I don't think I know, the bureaucracy was full of the country. It wasn't elected officials. And that's because it's true. So, and there may have been other reasons too that I'm not privy to. Look, and by the way, I didn't even know any of this, despite having moved to Washington in high school and been around this stuff a lot. I didn't know any of that. And I know Bob Woodward personally. So I didn't, I know Carl Bernstein personally, Carl Bernstein briefly. So I knew some of the actual players in this, but I didn't connect the obvious dots because they weren't framed that way. That's the point I'm making. It's the way that you frame all the information available on Wikipedia, which is also controlled by the intel agencies, but there's still information on there. The information can be out there in the public domain. It's a matter of seeing it for what it is, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so again, ladies and gentlemen, Nixon knew why the deep state killed JFK, and supposedly the theory, as to who killed him. Now, I am looking up this tape, and interestingly enough, I can't find. I am looking online right now, folks, to see if I can find anything about that. So, there is a Politico story about this, but I don't know if this. It doesn't look like it like addresses the whole thing specifically. What I'm asking, anywho, to me, that exchange that Tucker and Rogan had about the CIA framing Nixon, out of everything that they covered in the podcast, which again included, extraterrestrial beings, potentially, artificial intelligence, and the media. And media corruption. There were lots of topics, but out of everything they covered, that 7-minute clip I played pretty much sums up what, in my opinion, was the most important takeaway from the Joe Rogan Experience podcast with Tucker Carlson. That was it, basically. That was like the most important clip. And that's the clip that a lot of people have been talking about today. So, more and more people's eyes are getting woken up to the fact that the intel agencies do control everything. And that the deep state is real. And that it does exist, ladies and gentlemen. So, good for Joe for having Tucker on. And I think it's important that they had this conversation. I encourage you to check it out for yourself. One last thing before we go here. I do want to play another clip just to, illustrate the point for you about the corruption in media. Right, this is something I've talked about too. Now, I played this clip for you guys a few months ago back on the live show with Morpheus and Max, but it does bear playing here again. And this is the clip of Nixon in his 1983 interview with Frank Gannon on C-SPAN, in which he talks how the corporate media complex is just as dangerous as the military-industrial complex when it's unchecked. And I played this once before, but I definitely think it's worth watching again. So here is Richard Nixon talking with Frank Gannon on the media complex's unlimited power. Clip number 2. Here you go.
They have much more power than most people would like to think. When we think the media ended, the problem is that they have a sense of self-righteousness, a double standard on issue after issue after issue. They can find everything wrong with somebody else, but they will not look inside and ever admit that they could be wrong themselves. And what was involved here in the Watergate thing was the unfairness of it. Oh, there was a legitimate thing to infuse to balance it. They allowed their advocacy to get ahead of their reporting, which is their job to do. You know, President Eisenhower, in his farewell address, wrote about and warned against the power of the military-industrial complex. I didn't get a chance to make an address, but when I get old enough and decide to retire, and I'm not planning it at the moment, but when I get that old, if I make a farewell address, I think I would warn against the media elitist complex. Media is always talking about power of the presidency. I think we ought to hear a little bit of discussion of media. And see, presidential power is limited, limited by the courts, limited by the Congress. The media's power is unlimited. And some would say, but what about libel suits? Forget it. After the Supreme Court's decision in Sullivan versus New York Times a few years ago, a public figure cannot collect in a libel suit against newspaper or television unless he can prove malice. And there's no way that that's going to be possible. As far as the media is concerned, all we can hope from them, if they're going to be responsible, is self-analysis, self-criticism. And some of them are trying with their ombudsman and the rest. The other thing is competition. But what we see in terms of newspapers across the country is more and more places where there's only one paper. Take Washington, D.C. Since the Star left the scene, the Washington Post is the only major newspaper being printed in the most important capital in the world. I wouldn't like to leave the fate of this country to the editors of the Washington Post.
Do you think?
And that is definitely true still to this day. It's only gotten worse. This interview was in 1983, too, ladies and gentlemen. So, you know, keep in mind that the internet, as we know it, didn't even exist yet. It existed, like, for the military and whatnot, but at this point, like, you know, there weren't, like, the idea of media being online, anything like that. The internet of 20 years ago, of the 90s, wasn't even a concept yet. And yet what he's saying about, you know, the media and their attention for ratings and whatnot is all true. Even 40 years later, the more things change, the more they stay the same. And, you know, this is case in point of that very thing, ladies and gentlemen.
Think that the First Amendment has been misused or abused by reporters?
Oh, no question about it. It's used basically as a license. Let's face it, Sullivan versus New York Times is in effect a license to lie because they can tell an untruth, print an untruth, which some of them consciously do if it's going to sell newspapers or what have you or win a prize. And then they can always get behind the barrier under that case of saying, well, I didn't intend any malice. I had no malice.
So that's a terribly cynical approach, though, to people who are doing their best, who are going to work, who are trying to, maybe trying to sell papers, certainly, but are trying to tell the truth.
Well, let me say, right at this conversation, I made it clear that I was not speaking personally. I was not speaking generally. I'm simply speaking of what I have found to be an unfortunate majority at the present time. I think it could change. There are a lot of very good, responsible reporters, particularly in the writing press, not yet that much in television, because television is so consumed with ratings and the rest. They'll do almost anything to get a story.
Is there any way to get some kind of a handle on this situation? Should the media be investigated? Should it be controlled?
Now, I may disagree, for example, with what some president does with his power, but I don't want to abolish the presidency, or I don't want to control it. The same is true of press. I believe in a free press. I do not want government control under any circumstances or government censorship of either radio, television, or newspapers. But I'm simply suggesting here that all of the media should look within themselves, look through that microscope at themselves, look in the mirror now and then, rather than looking out there to others.
Which, sadly, ladies and gentlemen, the corporate media never does. And with the NPR news story that broke last week, I do kind of want to finish with that. We talked a little bit about the NPR thing last week with Max and Apex. And here's the thing. The NPR story of them hiring a new editor and her being specifically left wing, that in and of itself is nothing burger, right? We know, right? We pretty much already know that NPR has always been to the far left. And so, you know, left wingers are going to left wing, and so on and so forth. That's not the key issue with the NPR story, folks. The key part of the key thing with the NPR story and why it's concerning for so many people is, NPR is, government funded. But that's always been the case, so that's always been a concern. But B, more importantly than that, what is concerning to so many of us conservatives is that the new CEO of NPR is basically calling the First Amendment like an inconvenience to telling the truth, right? She's saying that the First Amendment, freedom of speech, is a danger and an inconvenience to telling the truth. That's not my new either, but because the leftists have always believed that as well, that freedom of speech disrupts their version of quote-unquote truth. But what is even more disturbing is she has pretty much said that she would like to see legislation limiting freedom of speech for smaller independent news sites and individuals, basically making it so that only corporate media would be protected under the First Amendment, and so therefore what rendering the First Amendment obsolete pretty much. So there you have it, folks. That, that's pretty much the danger with NPR and why that story still has relevance. And, again, we covered, Tucker Carlson on Joe Rogan and the most important part of that conversation. I do encourage you, if you can, to check out the full podcast, because it is worth watching. But definitely in particular, that segment where Tucker and Rogan are talking about Nixon basically being framed for Watergate, that in my mind is the most important part of that conversation with Joe Rogan. And I wanted to cover that on today's podcast. I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in to today's episode. Whenever you're listening to this, in the past, present, future hour, I'll be back on Wednesday night live on Rumble, 9 p.m. Eastern. And until then, God bless, God save this great nation, God, freedom, legacy, in that order, and I'll see you on the next episode of the show. Take care, folks.
Thanks for listening to The Whitfield Report on the NGC Network. Please visit Sam's website at www.thesamwhitfield.com and support Sam on Patreon at patreon.com/Whitfield Report. Until next time, God bless. God save this great nation, and God, freedom, legacy, in that order.